It's time for the Catalyst Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from this past week's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Midweek Podcast, where we are continuing the conversation from this past week's sermon. I'm Rob. I'm the youth minister here. This is John Kelly, our discipleship minister here at Catalyst. Dave's main thing from this Sunday was this: joy is not an emotion, it is a lifestyle. I listened to it this morning. I was not actually able to be there, but I thought he did a fantastic job explaining it. John, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, just the main thing itself. I just love that. Mm-hmm. Especially throughout the course of the service yesterday. I talked about when I was in Jamaica. This is just something I experienced recently that I loved. I was in Jamaica for a mission trip, and when communion time came, I was expecting an American communion time, which is you sit and you're somber and it's quiet and there's quiet music playing and everybody's praying and all this. And they put out this like bouncy, happy song. Mm-hmm. And I've got video, and I may try and get that in this podcast so while we're talking about this, people can see it.
Yeah.
The guy who had just done the communion talk is dancing behind the pulpit during communion.
That's awesome.
Because they're celebrating what Christ did in their lives, and that's the kind of joy. When I saw that, was the first thing that came to my mind is, man, yeah. As Americans, man, we are so goofy when it comes to joy. You yeah. know, it's like we confuse happiness and joy.
Yeah, we think it's the same thing.
Yeah, we do. And happiness is an emotion.
Yes.
Joy is not. Joy yeah. is a decision. It's something you decide you're going to be full of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like here in the United States, it's like we get upset over these silliest things, and I think part of it's because everything is so good here.
Yeah,
we feel like we have to find something to be upset about.
Yeah,
and you know, Dave hit that a little bit ago, or hit that a little bit yesterday. But it's just amazing how we can get so caught up with mundane little things,
mm-hmm.
and they upset us, and we let that steal our joy.
Yeah, I love the fact that he was talking about, if it wasn't for social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and everybody complaining, he would have thought this was the best time to be alive.
Well, he even posted that today on Facebook.
Okay.
He actually did a post about that today, yeah.
I mean, and that's completely true. The only reason a lot of us become down is because we feed off of other people.
That's the truth.
We feed off of the negative stuff in the world. I always say this. People say, man, the world's getting worse. And I was like, I don't think it's getting any worse. I just think we know about it now because of social media. And because of that, we have this whole nother negative side to the world that we've never experienced before, which is this new communication style. Before, it was like, if you didn't want to hear about bad things, you just didn't read the paper. Now you have to avoid the TV, you have to avoid your phone, you have to avoid people walking in the streets, and if you still get the paper, avoid the paper. There's
funny.
An all types of different stuff coming at you, and you have to make the decision, like you said earlier, whether or not you are going to still find joy in the world, or you're just going to buy into everything that is being thrown at you.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, I love Dave's second point when he just simply said joy must be fought for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right, because like you said, you look at social media, you look at the news, you look at the state of politics in the United States right
mm-hmm.
now. If you just let yourself be enveloped by this stuff and you just let yourself be surrounded by this stuff, it will rob you of all of your joy.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but there's nothing more frustrating than being around a person that all they ever do is complain.
Yeah.
All they ever do is they're upset. They argue. They just, nothing is ever good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Those people sap us of our joy. And Dave made the statement, you have to fight for joy. And I think that's where the concept of boundaries have to come in.
Yeah.
And Dave talks about this all the time. You know, it's something we talk about here at the church. Really good relationships have really good boundaries.
Yes.
Where you know this is how far you go, mm-hmm. and then you stop. And you may have people in your life that you have to have certain boundaries with them.
Yeah.
And say, I love you, but I can't spend this many hours with you, or you completely rob me of my joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't spend 3 or 4 hours a day on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I need to dial that back because it's robbing me of my joy.
Yeah.
I can't get on CNN or Fox News and watch all the political garbage that's going on, because if I spend all my time watching that, it robs me of my joy.
Yeah.
And it's just really important that we understand how important it is to live a joyful life.
Yeah.
For one, you enjoy life a whole lot more when there's joy in your life.
Yeah.
You are much more pleasant to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more possible for you to share the gospel with people when you're a joyous person.
That's true.
Because everybody wants to be joyous.
Yeah.
And when they're not, and they see someone who is, they want that.
Yeah.
And if we don't set those boundaries, and if we don't pull back on some things that are kind of getting in the way of that joy, then we're just going to slide down that slippery slope to apathy and anger and frustration and angst.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to really, you really have to dial in. What is it that I need to be spending my time on?
Yeah. I also think of it as a, when he says it has to be fought for, I always view things as, is it hard or easy? And things of this world and wrong things will always be easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think sin is easy. Being sinless is very, very difficult. So whenever we are fighting for our joy, it's very easy to talk about negative things for a long time. In fact, if you look at your daily life, the long conversations that you have are probably around negative things.
That's
and the things that are like really, really good and joyful, things that are God is doing in your life, maybe things that are happening are good things that are happening to other people, you don't talk about those things. Or if you do, it's just a quick sentence, and then you go right back to something. It's like, I can't believe, did you hear what this person said? Did you see what this person did? Can you see what this person tweeted? Instead of having a very long and deep conversation about, man, you cannot believe what God is doing in my life. Because people don't want to hear it. Because those conversations don't last very long. And it shows in our everyday life.
Yeah. Well, I think we all fall into that lie of sin.
Yep.
Where sin is really fun
while
it's happening.
Yeah.
But the aftermath is never good.
Yeah.
It's never good. And instead of realizing that, we just continually go into the cycle of sin where we do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about people gossiping about other people, you know, that when we talk about the negatives, we're basically just gossiping all the time.
Yes.
And gossip is a sin, but it's for some reason we love doing it, because somehow in the midst of talking about everybody else's problems and everything everybody else does wrong, somehow we think it makes us feel better about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it does the exact opposite. As a matter of fact, I find when I've had a conversation with somebody where that's all I've had to listen to, I find myself just kind of want to go take a nap and forget about the rest of the day, because I just don't want to deal with that anymore.
Yeah.
I'd rather enjoy my time
and
talk about good things. But you're right. It's amazing how you can kill a conversation by talking about things you're excited about.
Yeah, or good, or just good things.
Just good things. Like,
yeah.
It'll kill a conversation in many counts.
Yeah.
And that's really sad.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just really sad.
Yeah, yeah. The third thing that Dave talked about is the joy mindset.
Mm.
We are patient in suffering. What was your first thought when you heard that?
So I'm not patient in suffering?
Oh. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It's hard because when things go wrong, you want them fixed quickly.
Yes.
Okay, take today, okay? Specifically today, right now, as we're speaking, there's new siding being put on my house.
Yeah.
For a storm that hit my house a month ago.
Yes. Yeah.
A month ago.
Yeah.
I called the insurance agent that day. I made phone calls all over the place. We finally got a hold of somebody to fix our siding, and it's just now getting done today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's nothing against anybody, but I'm not very patient in those moments because I'm thinking, I've got bare... My house was built before you had to put... any kind of Tyvek or anything on the back of your house. And so I've exposed wood.
Mm-hmm.
Wood underlay showing on the back of my house, and we've had storm after storm after storm. And I'm just waiting for it to start warping or the water to get through and start destroying the drywall in my house or getting into the electric. I'm not patient when I feel like things need to get done. And so when I'm suffering and I want healing or... I see someone who's hurting from something. I want them to be better now.
Yeah.
I want my situation to be improved now.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it brings more stress.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me more tense.
Yeah.
It does not make my situation better. It actually worsens the situation. Instead of taking a step back, breathing deep, and just going, okay, God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let him run with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week when we talked about, or maybe a week or two ago, when we talked about your trip to Africa where you climbed the mountain. And a lot of the time, whenever we're suffering and we're really frustrated, we've experienced good, and then we've gone down to suffering. And because we've experienced good before, we think we know the best way to get back up to good.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't patient enough to allow God to work for his perfect timing, because we think that our time is best.
Right.
So I talked about your climb, where I was like, could you imagine if you looked at the porters who were guiding you up the mountain and said, nah, I know the best way up the mountain.
I got this.
I know the best way to go to the greatest spot. And they probably would have looked at you and laughed at you.
Mm-hmm.
Or told you to go home.
And they'll call me Johnny Boy. So they'd have gone, Johnny Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what you're talking about.
But a lot of us, we are suffering, we're hurting,
mm-hmm.
and instead of looking to God and saying, okay, God, how do you bring us back up to these mountaintops where we experience your love everywhere and your joy everywhere, we think, okay, I know the best way. Hey,
yeah.
God, why don't you grab my shoulder? Hey, Jesus, why don't you grab my shoulder, and I'll lead you to the mountaintop so I can experience you. And that's a completely different mindset that you have to have.
Well, I've said it before, I think. I don't know if we've said it in this podcast or not, but I've always said, God is the God of the long game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's the God of the long game.
Yeah.
He didn't send Jesus right away.
Mm-mm.
People waited for years and years and years and years and hundreds and thousands of years for him to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's come, and he lived, and he died, and was resurrected, and went back to be with his Father. And they thought it was going to be another few years, and he was just going to come back, and it was going to be all over.
Yeah.
It's the year 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a shade under 2,000 years since he passed away, and he's still not come back yet.
Yeah,
you know, God is the God of the long game, and if you look through all of time, you look at the Israelites when they were imprisoned and enslaved in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't an overnight thing.
That was a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years,
mm-hmm.
before they finally saw the promised land. And it was because of their impatience,
yep.
that they did that. And I think you look at through all of the Bible, you just look through there and read through everything,
mm-hmm.
and God always seems to play the long game.
Yeah.
So why would he change that with us?
That's
why would all of a sudden I be able to go, hey, God, I know you don't do this very often, but in this case, you have to do it.
You have to.
You know, like, yeah. I'm sorry that you typically take your time and do it in your time because that's really what's best.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little annoyed right now, so
kind
of fix this, okay?
Yeah.
That's not how he works.
Yeah, I know.
Take Catalyst, for instance. We are now 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We are working towards 12. We are just now a church that's averaging about 200 people a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, and it took time. And
yeah.
we had to go through some bumps in the road, and we had to go through some things along the way. But God now has us in this place.
Yeah.
We're seeing that. We just had by far the biggest Easter we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But the more exciting thing is we had the biggest week after Easter that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows that God is at work at this church, and he's really bringing people here
mm-hmm.
to be healed and to experience him and to grow. But we have to be patient.
Yeah.
If you're not patient, if you're not willing to play that long game, I'm not gonna say God's gonna disappoint you, but you're gonna be disappointed in God.
That's true. That is true. He goes on to say that we need to rid ourselves of complaining and grumbling. He gets that from Philippians. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard to do, because when you are experiencing some sort of emotion, you want to tell people.
Yeah.
Like, we are supposed to be a group of people who are community and people who love each other, and the people that you love, you want to explain your frustration. But you have to know that point of, okay, I'm no longer expressing my frustration. I'm no longer sharing where I am in my life, but I'm now just complaining. And I might be affecting that other person's mood right now. It's okay to express, like, hey, this is where I'm at, because the next, you know, 20, 30 minutes might shift the conversation a little bit to be a very positive sense. But, or you could go the next 20, 30, 40, 2 hours to 4 hours of just complaining the entire time, and you completed nothing.
I think the worst people to work with are the people that are constantly hurt.
Okay, explain a little bit more.
Hurt.
Oh, okay. Got you.
You know, people who, and for those of you who are listening to this as opposed to watching, and I did the finger quotations, hurt.
Yeah, hurt.
You know, you get 5 minutes into a hike, oh, my ankle. You get 10 minutes into working on something at your house, man, my back's killing me. And yeah. then it becomes their topic of discussion for the entire rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was so bad, they wouldn't be able to walk.
Yeah.
If it was so bad, they wouldn't be able to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But that becomes their center of their conversation, and that becomes the center of their thoughts. And what ends up happening is they do worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they've kind of made that happen.
Yeah.
You know, when you... Anybody who does a lot... I do a lot of hiking. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to get into it a lot. But your ankles get hurt. Your knees mm-hmm. get hurt. Your back gets hurt. Things get hurt, but you just keep walking.
Yes.
And truthfully, most of the times, it's nothing big.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to just walk through it.
Yeah.
And I think in life... There are so many times we get hurt. There's so many times that little things happen, but they're little.
Yeah.
But we have this tendency to make them huge, and as a result of that, we become these complaining people, these mm-hmm. arguing people who they're always focused on the negative because they can't realize it's temporary.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing that Dave talked about yesterday, was that our suffering is temporary.
Yes.
And the fact that our suffering is temporary means it's going to end. But instead of focusing on the fact that it's going to end, we focus on the fact that we're in it right now.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for us as people, as human beings, to have a mindset on the future a lot of times. That's why so few people have retirement plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so few people know what they're going to do when they get to a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know, what are you going to do for work? I don't know, let's keep working.
Mm-hmm.
Because they weren't thinking about the future.
Yeah.
I mean, I fell into that trap in my 20s and early 30s. I just never thought about the future. I wasn't married, didn't have kids. Of course, all that's changed now, and my mind is completely shifted.
Yeah.
But we always get focused on, this is our problem now, and we get so focused on it that we become complainers, we become arguers, we grumble,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just makes everybody around us miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think the reason that he said all of this, that Paul said this, was because he didn't like being around those kinds of people.
No.
And he knows that nobody else does either. And he realizes, sure, if you want to be able to be a light into a very dark world,
mm-hmm.
don't be a black light.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be a black light. Just be a light, you know? Yeah. Like, don't make everything dark, and don't make everything ugly, and don't make everything miserable. Which leads right into the fact that he says, you know, Dave's final point was, what was next to the last point was, we focus on the positive.
Mm-hmm.
What's that mean for you, like, as a youth minister? I know with teenagers, a lot of times there can be a lot of woe is me and stuff like that sometimes. And
yeah, sometimes, because they're experiencing emotions for the first time.
Right.
They're kind of experiencing stuff that is going to shape the way they view the world for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look back, if you react a certain way to something, whether it's positive or negative, it's probably due to something you experienced when you were middle school and high school, maybe even before. And it's really hard to focus on the positive at all times. But we're called to do it. And like I said earlier, there's an easy way and a hard way to do things. The easy way is to just focus on the negative, and you'll get through life and you'll probably be miserable. Or you can fight through and focus on the positive. And if you focus on the positive, you start seeing more positive things, and more people around you will become more positive as well.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a leader in the church. If you're a minister, If you are leading a community group, if you are leading any sort of thing, that group of people will take the shape of the leader. And if me as a youth minister, if I was just like negative all the time, if I was hating on everything, if I was just like, man, this sucks, I don't want to be here, the students can sense that.
Yeah, they emulate it.
And then they will start not wanting to be there. If you have a community group and you're like, man, I just don't want to be at this community group today, people will sense that. And they'll probably leave early. And I hope they come back. I hope they come back the next week. But don't let your negativity, if you consider yourself a negative person, I would highly recommend talking to somebody that you think is positive. And hopefully they'll explain why being positive is so much better than being negative.
Yeah. Well, I think habits are everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think you, through your whole life, you develop good habits, you develop bad habits. For me, you know, I think I mentioned this last week, I'm back in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
This is week number three of being in the gym every morning at 5:45. And trying to get that to be my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
To where that's a non-negotiable. I do that Monday through Thursday. No questions asked. Don't bother me during that time period. Of course, who's going to bother me at 5:45 in the morning anyways?
Yeah.
But I have to make that my habit, and I think positivity has to be a habit.
Yeah.
Because you're right, it's hard to be that up front. It's hard to do that at the beginning. But I think the more you do it, it's like anything else, the easier it becomes.
Yeah,
it's like the first time you try and share Christ with somebody, you're scared out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're terrified of being told no, which you probably will be.
Yeah.
But once you've done it, it becomes a little less scary.
Yeah.
You know, and you start to do it more. And I think being positive, because we live in such a negative society where even rap artists, they just want to have beef with another one.
Yeah.
You know, or politicians are constantly at each other.
Yeah.
And how great would it be if we as the church could literally be countercultural to that?
Yeah.
But it seems like we find ourselves doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's with each other.
Yeah.
And so there has to be a point, like I guess a line in the that you draw in the sand that says, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be positive. But then you just have to keep doing it.
Yes.
And then once it becomes a part of who you are, it's amazing how much easier it is to be that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college with a guy named Andy, who he was the most positive human being we ever met in our lives. And he just never said anything negative. He was from Rockcastle County, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he was literally the nicest human being I'd ever met in my life. And I was the most sarcastic, cynical human being alive, and yet we became pretty good friends. And we used to ride back and forth together, because at the time I was living in the same county as he was, and so we'd ride together. But I just asked him one day, I said, Andy, why are you always so happy? And he said, I got Jesus.
Yeah.
It was that simple little answer, and I thought, that's just the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
What? Is that it? And
yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's it. He goes, why should I be upset at anything?
That's true.
And Andy, like I was saying, he had that idea of the future.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't worried about here, because here is really what you do on earth, in the grand scheme of things, isn't as big a deal as where you're going to spend the rest of your eternity.
Yeah.
And so for him, guiding his days and being positive and doing ministry, he ended up doing ministry in the Ukraine for a while. And was a missionary over there, and now he's back in the States. But he has always been that person I've always remembered. I just think to myself, man, if I could be more like that.
Yeah.
If I could be more like that. Those kinds of people just draw others to them. And I think everybody on our campus from his freshman year forward just loved him, because
yeah.
he was that guy.
Yeah. That leads us to his final point, which is we celebrate the success of others. And which kind of goes along with what we've been saying this whole time. But one thing I do have to say about that is I think Facebook and Instagram have masterminded this, where whatever you click on and whatever you subscribe to, whatever you comment on, is what they're going to give you more of.
Mm-hmm.
If you just comment and like and engage with positive people, you're probably only going to see positive things on your Facebook wall or Instagram feed. But it's also the other side. If you are only talking negative, you only go to negative websites, you only go, you only engage with negative people, eventually you're only going to see bad things. Yeah. You're only going to see negative things.
You're right.
So if we as humans want to only have positive and joy-filled life or around others, we need to make sure that we are only engaging with the good stuff,
yeah,
with the stuff that brings us joy. And that includes celebrating other people, where you have to value, this is mind-blowing, but you have to value others above yourself.
Yeah. Well, Dave actually talked about this in his sermon, and it was such an amazing story. Because Dave has a son, he calls him his son in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his son after his child was only alive for 10 days, had mm-hmm. a heart defect. They weren't able to fix that through surgery.
Yeah.
His son passed away.
Yeah.
Only months later, his wife's twin sister had a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been very easy for her to not want to celebrate that, to be negative, to be upset, to hold a grudge against her sister. How dare you have a healthy kid mm-hmm. when mine didn't live? And,
yeah.
And she chose the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
She chose to have joy. As a matter of fact, Dave said when she went into her sister's hospital room, her sister was so overwhelmed with guilt.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
You just had a child and you feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
And that's where her sister, because she loved her twin sister so much, she was overwhelmed with guilt and began sobbing the mm-hmm. moment she walked in the room.
Yeah.
But Rachel turned around and just celebrated
yeah.
with her
Which
for this new baby. And I know he's been a fantastic cousin to Sam.
Yep.
And I know Sam looks up to him a lot. And Sam is Dave's son, for those of you who don't yep. go to Catalyst. But it's been incredible. That story was incredible because I know right now there are several families in this church who are trying to have children. And one family in particular, the wife has been blogging
yep.
about their struggles and just how hard it's been. And the fact that she's doing that, but also saying, I've not lost faith in God, I'm not blaming God for this. I am asking him why, but I'm not mad at him for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also turning around and when she sees that other people are pregnant, saying congratulations.
Yeah.
And loving on those people. That's the exact kind of person we need to be.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't go around and complain to everybody about we can't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't. Yeah. But she celebrates when others do. And that, I'm not female.
Yeah.
I don't even claim to understand the mindset or the emotion mm-hmm. that a female has. But I know most women would struggle with that
yeah.
I've talked to.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's the exact opposite, I mean, what a testimony.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I really hope God blesses them with a child just so they can have that, they can, you know, share that on with their child
mm-hmm.
so that they can live that kind of life. So, I mean, the more people that we have like that in this world having kids, the more good,
That's
positive
good.
People we can
yeah.
raise up here. And I find that so amazing. I just find it amazing that anyone can have that kind of love and find a place for joy in the midst of that kind of sorrow.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Well, John, I think we've covered everything here
yeah.
today. I think Dave has done a fantastic job with the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We are on joy this week. It's been really good. We're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit for the next couple weeks. I think
yeah.
me and you, we're still kicking.
We're still going.
We're
bro.
Still going.
We're
me
still
and
going.
You talking about
still
it.
Still us.
If you have been encouraged by this, we would like to encourage you to share the podcast with somebody that might be struggling with this or might want to hear what we're doing here at Catalyst Christian Church. Well, this has been the Midweek Podcast. We'll see you next Wednesday.